This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we talk all about writing. And so for today, we're going to talk about, before we actually introduce Jane and get to know a little bit more about Jane, we're going to talk a little bit about having a book launch. We have a whole series of everything that we talk about on publishing, writing, and publishing. And for those of you that, as you were coming on, you heard us talking, we were chatting about a writer's workshop that we just came through with Sandy. Sandy does an amazing writer's workshop in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And we were all just there for the writer's workshop. It was wonderful. And I've met some great folks. And some of the folks were using some of the points that we're going to talk about today for their book launch. And I really appreciated some of the things that they were doing. So I'm going to share my screen for just a moment. I want everybody to see how you can find us. And this is, and I'll get rid of that for just a moment here. This is what our website looks like for the Academy. And when I got to move our faces, so bear with me here as I move us around. When you come across the little tabs here over to the More button and you scroll down, here is the authors and writers. And so here is where we are. And so when you click into the authors and writers, you can click here and look at all of our replays. But if you scroll down, we do have a course, and if you go into the course, and I've already scrolled down the course, here is all the things here on the left that we have covered so far. We've talked about choosing a publishing route, editing our writing, getting feedback, titling our manuscript, formatting our book, designing an eye-catching book cover, writing the publisher-ready book description, and today it's creating the book launch plan. And then next month, we'll talk about publishing our book to some online retailers, and finally, the six most effective book marketing strategies. But today, we're just going to talk briefly because I want to give a lot of time for Jane, but we're going to talk briefly about how to successfully launch your book. So, first of all, I think you have to start, and Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you have to start with the end in mind. And Jane, feel free to jump in here. I think you have to decide what is it that you want your book to do for you? Are you just writing your book because you want to get your story out there and you just want to get it into print and you really don't have an end plan? Or are you planning on launching some sort of a business and your book is connected to whatever you're writing or teaching or whatever your business is? So I think you have to kind of decide up front not only what you want your book to do, but who is your audience going to be? And so then when you're and again, and I said this at the writer's workshop with Sandy, books are business. Now they don't have to be. You can just write a book to write a book. If you just want to write a book and self-publish and say, there, I wrote a book and that makes you happy, then by all means be happy. But if you want to create a business or you want to generate income or you want your book to be more than just a book that's on the shelf, then I think you have to do a little bit of planning with the end in mind and kind of reverse engineer that. I hear a lot of folks, and this is probably the biggest thing I even heard at Sandy's workshop at Into the Springs Writers Workshop that we just did with Sandy, is so many authors, even at the table I was at, they were like, how do you get more sales? How do you get more sales? Because they got across the finish line, or so they thought, of publishing their book, and they had their book in hand with them at the workshop. But they're like, how do you get more sales? Well, they didn't have any kind of a launch. They just kind of put the book out there. Well, we all know how many, I mean, go to Amazon, how many billions of books are there to choose from? And so, how do you get somebody to notice your book? How do you get readers to start reading your book? How do you get it to gain some momentum? And so it has the potential to be life-changing for the right readers, but you have to decide some of your marketing tactics on how you're going to get to those readers. One of the best tactics that I have done in the past is my social media. Okay, I don't want to hear any groaning. Everybody, social media. You either love it or you hate it. There's very few folks in between. There's the folks that are on social media all the time, and then there are the folks that are like, oh, I hate to get on Facebook. I hate to get on Instagram, And then there are those of us that don't mind getting on, but we can get sucked in, and next thing you know, we've been on way too long and we're not getting the the rest of our stuff done that we're supposed to get done that day. So I think you have to be strategic about your social media, just like everything else. But just to give you an idea of how that works, I cannot go out to a restaurant without someone saying, "You're Kathy Benner. I know you. I follow you on Facebook." To the point where Mark and I were getting on an airplane, not this trip, but the last trip, we were getting on an airplane and some lady gets on the airplane and she shouts back through the airplane, "That's Kathy Benner. I follow you on Facebook." And Mark leans over and he goes, "Who's that?" I said, "I don't have any idea who that is." But somebody knew me from social media. So my point in that is that folks watch what you're doing, even if they never comment, even if they never let you know, they see what you're doing. So my first comment to you is, if you have a book or you're planning on publishing a book and you have not thought about this, you need to start creating a following on your social media. And the only way to do that, and it's really pretty simple to create a following, is just be consistent. Just be consistent. Just, you know, once a week, twice a week, three times a week, whatever's comfortable for you. You know, some of the gurus say, oh, you have to post every day. And some say, oh, you have to post, you know, at least three times a week. Do whatever is comfortable for you, but put it on your calendar and do it faithfully and be consistent, and you will start to create a following. And again, always, I'm going to kind of blend the two courses together. I have another course called Build a Better Business. And in our Build a Better Business, we talk about creating our story. And our story is, I love it, because our story, we're talking about writing today. So one of the first things that I think everyone should do is write out their story. And I've got a whole template on how to do your hero's journey. For those of you that are writers in the room, you've heard of the hero's journey. Write your story, and then every time you post something on social media, wrap it in a piece of your story, because everybody loves a story. Everybody loves a story. So if you're real salesy, like, "Hey, buy my book," you know, people are going to scroll right on by. But if you say, "Oh, I've spent 10 years writing this book, and I remember back when I was in high school," and all of a sudden your readers are leaning in, because they're starting to hear a little bit about you personally, about your story. So now your readers or your followers on social media are leaning in. And then at the end you go, "And I finally crossed the finish line and I published my first book." Now they're like, "You know what? Good for her. I'm going to buy her book." You know, even if they do it because they just want to be a cheerleader in your corner, that's how you get started. So make a plan. And get ready to launch when you're ready to actually publish. So now, before your book launch, create a pre-launch checklist. And so I like to set the price at 99 cents when it first launches. Now, there are those, and again, I'm going to say this for those of you that may have not been following us all along in this series so far, but when you're publishing, you've got your traditional publishers on one end, you have self-publishing on the other end, and then you have a million and one hybrids in the middle of all of those vanity publishers, and you know, you've got all kinds in the middle. And some are good, some are bad, some are scams, some are not, you know, so you have to kind of, you know, work your way through all of those and find one that you know, like, and trust. I did publish with a vanity publisher personally, and because she did all the parts and pieces of the publishing that I didn't want to do, or that I didn't really want to take the time to learn. And so it worked for me. Now, it doesn't work for everybody, and it depends on your price point and what you're looking for. But some of those publishers, they do this all the time. It's what they do. It's what they do. And so they have it figured out, and they know that if you want to be a number one seller, that you have to have so many sales within a certain time frame. And they know how to kind of manipulate, I'll call it the stage, if you will. They know how to manipulate that launch to where your book comes out as a number one bestseller. So the very first book that I was ever in was a collaborative effort. And one of the guarantees that this gal made, who is a vanity publisher, is she said, "I will guarantee that you will be at least number one in one category." And we were all like, Really? How can you guarantee that? But what she knew that we didn't know, because we were all, brand new, of course. And what she knew is that if she could put it out there for 99 cents and boost those sales, along, and again, it was a collaborative effort. So there was more than one author. And so all of us, of course, were pushing the cart in the right direction. We were all, sending out our social media, to all of us. So now all of a sudden you have more than just one author, which is the reason I got into a collaborative effort, because I knew I didn't have time to work that hard. I knew that if it was just going to be me and my one little single book, I was going to have to work really, really hard to try to make a dent in the readership. And so I simply got on a larger bandwagon, if you will. So anyway, the good news is the book launched. We came in number one within the first week. We were number one in sales. And by the time we ended our promotional month, first month, we were number one in 13 categories on Amazon. And so once you reach a number one on Amazon, and once you're an author, then one of the things is you can create your author page right there on Amazon, which gives you a little bit more clout. And also, once you reach number one, they give you a little gold logo emblem that says you're a number one Amazon bestseller. And then after you become number one, then when you even get your author copies, that little gold logo is printed on the front cover of your book that you're a number one Amazon bestseller. And now here's the sweet spot. Once you as an author are a number one bestseller, you're always a number one bestseller because you became a number one bestseller on that first book. So now you are allowed to advertise yourself as a number one bestseller on your next 30 books, even if none of them ever make it to number one, because you are a number one best-selling author. And so you're allowed to put that on your author's page. And again, that just everything helps push the cart in the right direction. So then, as readers are looking, they're like, oh, well, hey, if she's a number one best-selling author, let me check out some of her books. So all of it helps. And so all of it works together. But you can prepare your friends and your family to kind of help promote that on your social media and just get them to share, that you've published. But I also, again, I'm going to kind of blend the two courses together. Over in the Build a Better Business, we talk about having a blog, having a podcast. So please, once you have your story, going back to crafting your story, your own personal story, now you can blog about your story and how you published your book and what it was about and the struggles. And see, when you start talking about your story, then your audience is going to start leaning in and they're going to say, oh, I want to see this book that she worked so hard on. You can become a podcaster if that's something you want to do, or you can become a guest on other podcasts and talk about your book. And today, Jane is. She's on as our guest, so she gets to talk all about what she does. This is one way that you can promote what you do, and you can help promote what other folks do as well and help spread the word. All of it helps. And then finally, consider Goodreads giveaways. And I wanted to finish on this because when I was at the writer's workshop with Sandy over in Yellow Springs, one of the authors brought in quite a few of his books, put them on a back table. And he said, I want to give away my book, and then I want to give away my poems. And he said, the only thing I ask is that you give me a review on Goodreads. That's all I ask. And he said, and I'm just going to give you the book. Well, I immediately, of course, I'm all about, books and writing. So I grabbed a copy of each. I went a step further. I actually got him to write me a little note in each book. I had him autograph the books. Of course, I used that as a little photo op and got a picture of him autographing the books, which I then can, when I give him the review, I can actually post the picture of him autographing his book in the review. So now that's going to pull a little more weight in the reviews. And so I immediately, when I got home, I immediately went on to Goodreads and I pulled up his book and gave him a good review, posted the picture, made sure it was all in there for him. And again, for those of you, whether you believe it or not, and I'm gonna go out on a limb just a little bit here. Some of you, and I'll just say it this way. You might decide that you don't believe in gravity, but it doesn't mean it's not true. When you go to the side of the porch and drop the golf ball, it's going to drop because of gravity. Well, there is a natural law that whatever you give, you get. Whatever you give, you get. So if you, whatever you're going to give, you will get it back tenfold. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's just a natural law that happens. So try it, trust me, you'll agree with me down the road that it is true. And so if you start promoting other folks and promote their books and lift them up and help them get to the next step of their journey, you will automatically have folks come around you and get you to the next step of your journey. So don't think that that's not something to, don't take that lightly. So again, give that a try. I think you're gonna agree with me. And so just remember, as things change, you need to kind of change with them. Here is 6 in-person book launch ideas I want to leave you with. You could have a bookstore launch party. You can partner with a local bookstore to host your book launch event. They always are looking for, again, what you're doing is you're bringing attention to the bookstore. So they're definitely going to want to help you out because you're going to help them out. It's a win-win. See, it goes back to that, whatever you give, you get. You could do a community event. You can organize a community event in a park, a community center, a local gathering place. You can tie in your theme with other community interests. Gosh, tons of folks have done that, where they have written about a particular city and then that city honors them because their book was written about the city. I have a friend who wrote a book about Shawshank Redemption. They're in Mansfield, Ohio, and they honor him as the Shawshank author now every year. And he simply included, the movie and the location in one of his books. And so now they honor him every year. You can do a book club gathering. You can connect with local book clubs. This is a great way, depending on what your book topic is, they might even choose your book to use in their book club to discuss your particular book. And character development, plot twist, all those things. That's kind of fun. You could do an author Q&A, a panel discussion, again, depending on what the topic of your book is. You could do a bookstore crawl. I love this one. You could collaborate with multiple bookstores for a bookstore crawl where attendees visit different stores to explore your book and others and engage in various book-related activities at each location. So I think that would be a great event. There's all kinds of social media to post these events. You can have a Facebook event. You could have a meetup event. You could do an Eventbrite event. There's all kinds of free platforms that you could advertise these events. You could do a themed launch party, and I've done several of these where you just have a theme. If your book is a mystery, you could set it up in a historic mansion. You consider hosting all kinds of locations depending on what your book is about. So remember to promote your book in person. Social media, media outlets, your author website. How many of you are authors and you don't have an author website? You must have an author website because when somebody searches for you or your book, you won't come up if you don't have an author website. So make sure you have an author website. Talk to me if you don't have one. We'll get you started on one over in our Build a Better Business program. So with that, I'm going to stop sharing. Did we have any questions from anyone that's on the call today about what we talked about? Any comments? Sandy, how about you? Any comments about launching, having a launch plan?
Yeah, no, I love your ideas. And you are selling yourself to sell your book. There's so much. I was just chatting with somebody from Into the Springs after we were all done, and she says, I have a Facebook for me, and I've got a Facebook site as an author, but I don't put much on my author page. And I said, rebrand yourself, go to your personal thing. And she's a local theater actress. I said, all those pictures you take of yourself and of the others, also mention how much you love the writing. Mention that you write screenplays. Mention somewhere, take one of those photos you've taken and twist it or rework it as a writer, or even if you're doing a play by Ibsen. Talk about Ibsen, how he's one of your favorite screenwriters or script writers or dramatists. Same, she loves her two cats and she has lots of pictures of cats. Well, you know how it is with a lot of writers. In one of those pictures, put your laptop next to the cat and say, "Here I am working on my novel." So when you put your cap on, that might your author cap, for a lot of us, we don't have to do that much extra work. We just have to look at maybe what we're already doing and fairly
Right.
well, and just like, just make it that image that you want as for people to pick up for yourself as an author.
Sandy, those are great ideas, and I agree. And for those of you that follow me on social media, you'll realize that I just take pictures everywhere I go, and then I just post it about my journey because, again, I'm a passive income mentor, but my overarching, I'll say tagline is freestyle living. And so I always want to post, how we're doing our freestyle living. And so I'm constantly just posting a picture with what we're doing, and I weave in my books every chance I get. So that's
And there
perfect.
are a lot of independent bookstores coming back since the pandemic and
Yes.
or starting. Look them up. They will probably love to be able to promote their bookstore by promoting you also, because I've got a real live author. So take a look at that. There are a lot in Ohio, at least, and I'm sure in other places.
Can I
Yeah.
shout out a particular
Please.
bookstore that is really open to working with indie authors? That is Kix Mix in Newark. They are
Ah.
just one of the best bookstores I know. And indie authors, not only does she have them in frequently for events and for book launches, but she also takes books on, I believe it's called on commission. So she takes it, puts it on the shelf. She takes a small commission when she sells it, and then you get the remainder. She's a bookstore owner I've worked with very extensively and just one of my favorite people to work with. I would recommend any indie author, particularly, to reach out to her.
Good. And that's Kix Mix.
Kix Mix in Newark.
Newark. Good.
Yes,
Thank you.
Newark, Ohio. I don't know if everybody is from Ohio. If you would, I would love to know where everybody is coming to us from. If you could just put that in the chat while I introduce Jane a little bit, and just tell us where you're coming to us from. That would be fun to see. And also tell us, are you already an author or are you hoping to be an author? So let us know over in the let us know over in the chat. So Jane is, she grew up in Central Ohio, which is where she currently lives. Jane, where are you? I'm currently right now in Sarasota, but I'm from Canal Winchester, Ohio, right outside of Columbus. Where are you?
I am actually in Lancaster. So I know that's a little bit southeastern rather than central, but central just was a little bit easier for people to understand instead of getting to quite the nitty-gritty. But Lancaster.
Okay, I get that. I'm an Amanda girl.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So Lancaster is kind of my hometown as well, because Amanda's right outside of Lancaster. So
Yep.
Lancaster's where we did all our shopping and all of that when I was growing up. So that's kind of my hometown as well. She has also lived in Alaska. Okay, that's interesting. And in Georgia. She loves to travel and see the world, and living in different places was such an adventure. Now you have a degree in health information management. But are you currently working in that
I
field?
don't, I work in healthcare, but not in health information management at this time. So
Okay.
I was doing medical records, and then I switched to a job closer to home. And now I do more clerical. I answer phones. I answer phones at the local hospital.
Okay. I want to make sure I've got everybody in here. It looks like, yeah, I just want to make sure everybody's on. Also, you have twin girls, is that right?
I do. Yep, they are
Okay.
13. 13.
Oh, they're at that age.
Yes,
Okay.
they
Ooh.
sure are.
Yeah. Now you love to read in your spare time, what little spare time you have.
Right.
Romance novels are your favorite, but you like to read things. And you also scrapbook and play video games. Consider yourself a bit of a nerd. Yeah, that's interesting. You said when you were a teenager, you collected comic books. You still have the collection. And you're really into Harry Potter, Star Wars, Star Trek. Oh gosh, that's fun. Yeah. And you used to play Magic the Gathering as well, but you don't have time days with the girls, I'm
Not
sure.
so much, not so
Yeah.
much.
So you're overall a fun-loving girl who tries to be relaxed about life and you want to learn as much as you can and have a great time doing it. Well, good for you, Jane. So I met Jane at a writer's workshop, believe it or not. And I think you sat kind of behind me, but when you spoke, I was like, oh, I gotta zero her out. So I searched her out at break time and asked her to be on the podcast, and she said yes. So let's talk about your experience as a writer, author, and ghostwriter. And am I correct? You are also a publisher?
I have a publishing company, per the state of like business. I have an LLC. I have
Okay.
not done any publishing of people outside of myself yet. It's something I'm looking into, but probably need to employ more people than just myself to do. So it is a future plans project, but I'm
Okay.
not actively publishing other people right now, but I do own BZ Publishing LLC.
Very interesting. How did you get started in these areas of being a writer and author? How did you get started? Tell us a little bit of your backstory.
Well, I've been writing all my life. In second grade, I actually won the Young Authors Award, so it started early. And then I just kind of was writing and writing and not having any success with traditional publishing because I started querying my first novel. Oh, probably when I was 19 or 20, and just kept getting rejected. So would, write a new novel and query that, and just kind of a long stream of rejections, and had not really heard much about self-publishing other than the Vanity Press, because this was, in the early 2000s before self-publishing worked the way it does now. And then in 2011, I was working with a lady and I told her, I was a writer and I wanted to publish books someday, but I wasn't having any luck. And she said, "Well, have you ever heard of Smashwords?" I said, "No, what's that?" And she said, "Well, writers put their books on there." And she says, "I'm a reader there. I buy books there all the time." So she said, "You could put your books there and people will buy them." And I thought, "Well, that's a brilliant idea." So I tend to be a jump in toes first kind of person. So I just found Smashwords, put some books up, and have since learned a whole lot more and do things a lot differently than I started. But that was where I got my start on Smashwords. And the first time I made $5, I thought I was about to be the richest person in the world. It was quite a journey. But
I sold my book.
It was great. I still every now and then on my Facebook see that memory of I just earned $5. This is the best thing ever. People are buying my books.
I love it.
So
I love it.
it's
Because you know what? We put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into
Oh
those patients. And so when somebody finally decides to give it a little credibility by purchasing it, yeah, it is
yeah.
very exciting. Well,
Oh
now you're working full time. Of course,
yeah.
you're a mom, you've got the twins.
Yes. Yes.
What prompted you or inspired you to pursue writing?
I just have always loved books and I've always loved storytelling. And so it was something that I kind of couldn't stop. Like, even when I wasn't thinking about publishing, when I wasn't, even before I was publishing, I obviously always had that bug. It just was kind of something innate in me. I kind of blame my dad. He used to like telling us bedtime stories and making up stories. He'd say, "Well, give me a character, give me something you want in the story, and I'll make up a story for you." So he was kind of who taught us how to do the storytelling. And actually, my brother is also a writer. So there's two of us in the family. But
Interesting. That's interesting
yeah.
that your dad would do that because that allowed you to see the process, to see how you would just take a character that you would make up or whatever and create a whole story around it. That's amazing for young people to realize that they can create these stories. I love that. Gosh, now so now you're creating stories. Now tell us, what is it that you like to write? We read what your hobbies are and what you like to do. Are you writing in those same genres?
I'm primarily writing romance. Now,
Okay.
I do write other things because I am a freelance writer. So I will write what you pay me to write. But for my own novels, I generally write romance. I dabble in other genres, but romance is where my heart is.
Okay, so you're actually making a living at doing writing for other people as well as a freelance writer or a ghostwriter. And
I am
so,
making money, but not a living. Let's be clear there.
okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. I'm a certified ghostwriter and I also
Gotcha.
have written for some other folks. So I get that. I think you have to be kind of big time, really big time, if you're going to make a living at
Yeah.
ghostwriting. Yeah, it takes a minute to get there. And again, that's like having another job. And
It
my overarching message is freestyle living. So
is.
I haven't like advertised that a lot because
Right.
I really don't want to have like
Yeah.
another whole job where I have these deadlines and I have to get this writing done for another person. So
Well, and
I
I'm
do.
to the point I actually cut back on it. For a while, I
Okay.
had so many clients that it was really taking all of my writing time to do paid writing. And so now I'm down to just two clients that I write pieces for on a monthly basis, more or less. So it's a little nice additional income, but it's not something I found I want to do full time just because it ends up taking up so much of my creative time that I can't work on
Right.
my passions and I'm working on other people's passions, which is fun and nice, but you know, when you're limited in time, you want to pursue what you want as well.
But isn't it nice to know that you have that option?
Yes,
Yeah,
it's
that you can always add
really
some
is.
clients on there if you needed to, if you,
Yeah.
depending on the, what life hands you and you need the
Right.
income, you could boost that back up again.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure that the reason you let it kind of shrink down a little bit was because of time management. So how
Yes.
do you manage your time balancing work, writing, and twin girls? How do you balance all of that? Do you have a like a special writing time of day? I mean, are you really systematized in it or is it kind of when
I
you feel like it?
try to be. I try to be, but there's a lot of variables. Life is very busy and I kind of have to just kind of pivot where we are right now. So before I was when I worked day shift, I was really getting up in the morning an hour before I had to get everybody else up and sitting down and doing a lot of my writing then. And then I would also like I'd come home and in my free time I would do outlining. You know, if instead of scrolling Facebook and stuff on my phone, I'd have Notepad out and be outlining things or sometimes even doing a little bit of writing on my phone. When the kids were in activities, like when they were doing gymnastics and basketball and stuff like that, I always had my it's a Neo Alpha Smart Neo, which is a little electronic typewriter that I carry
Okay.
with me everywhere. So I would just like write on that, kind of just sticking it in wherever there was time. I recently moved to night shift, and so now we're kind of having to revamp what that looks like, and I'm still not 100% set on a good routine, but I am working on it.
Okay. Yeah, I worked nights back in the day. That's a tough gig to try to work nights and then during the day is to, getting your sleep because you don't want to deprive yourself of
Right,
sleep because
right.
that affects everything you're doing. So that's always a challenge. Can you share some insights into your actual writing process? Are you a plotter or a pantser?
I'm kind of a little bit in the middle. So, since I write romance, romances tend to be a fairly formulaic genre, and
Okay.
I very much follow romance beats. So,
Okay.
basically, I fill out a beat sheet for my books, and that way I know the important parts. I know how the characters are going to meet. I know a few items of how they're going to fall in love, the main conflicts between them, the third act breakup, if I'm going to have one, and if there's not a breakup, like what they need to overcome and how they overcome it. So I know that going in, and then I kind of pants between the lines.
Okay, now we've got a
So.
lot of newbies. And again, when you're following the chat, a lot of folks put in there that they're a wannabe writer, they're new, they're thinking about writing. So we're getting a lot of newbies. Now, Chip looks like he's been in, he says he's worked in film and television, and he has a Substack, and he has not yet ventured into book publishing, but he did put his LinkedIn link there in the chat if anybody wants to connect with Chip. But other than Chip, we have a lot of newbies. So Jane, can you go back and give us a brief overview of the difference between a plotter and a panster and what you're talking about when you're talking about beats?
Sure.
And I understand that, Sandy, but I think we might have a lot
Gotcha.
of newbies that really don't
Absolutely.
understand those terms.
Sorry, I get so used to using the
No,
jargon
I
that
get
I
it.
forget that not everybody knows it.
I
So
get it.
basically, a plotter is somebody who spends a lot of time before writing, planning out their story. And there's a lot of different levels of this. I had one writer friend who had an Excel sheet, and every single scene that was going to be in her book, she had it, all the notes. What was the point of the scene? Who was going to be in the scene? What time of day? What day of the week? That kind of thing. All the stuff. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have the pantsers. That's writing by the seat of your pants. And that's basically when people just say, I'm going to write a book. It's going to be fine. And they jump in and they write it. And there's kind of pros and cons to each. I think the hardest thing about plotting is you can kind of feel like after you've plotted it out, you've written it. And so you don't want to actually write your drafts because you already know what happens and it's not fun and it's kind of boring. Like you already figured it all out. On the other hand, with the pantsers, a lot of times you lose cohesion with the story and you can find yourself writing yourself into the corner. If you're a newer writer, often if you pants, you end up with stories that have no endings and you just kind of get lost in the middle. And so that's part of the reason I'm kind of in the middle. I don't want to do lose all of the excitement of figuring out what my characters are going to do and say and giving them the chance to kind of take some turns, but I also want to know where I'm going so that I can not get too far off the beaten path. You know, if I'm in the middle and it's like I have a cool idea, I can look and be like, well, that's the ending I want. Is that cool idea still going to take me to that ending? And if not, maybe I should do something different. Because, you know, every now and then we get excited about our ideas, even if they're not the right ideas for these particular books.
Sometimes my characters take on a life of their own, and I'm like, wait, where are you going?
Well, and I would say if you do that and you follow them, it's really important to make sure that, you know, you redo your outline then and figure out, okay, where are we going? Because you don't want to walk yourself to a dead end when you had a plan. Now, as far as beats are a really cool thing I just learned about a couple years ago. But basically in genre fiction, there are a lot of things that you see time and time again, and kind of a formula, especially for romance, mystery, horror. And depending on what beat sheets you find on, those are called beats. And depending on what beat sheets you find online, some are really detailed and some are a lot more casual. I would say they are kind of like the hero's journey, but for different genres. So in romance, you always have a meet cute. Typically, you're going to have characters meet within the first three chapters of the book. You're going to have a little bit of time to show what their life is like and their openness for relationships, why a relationship will impact them. Then the characters meet. You have different things going on where they have time to fall in love. You have a pinnacle of their relationship, typically, that can be a confession of love. It can be intimacy. It can be all kinds of things. And then shortly after that, the characters meet with some kind of obstacle that is very difficult for them to overcome. A lot of times they break up and then have to come back together. That's called a third act breakup in the romance genre. So like following the beats helps me know what readers expect from the genre, because with romance, there is the people reading romance, they want certain things from that romance and they do want a bit of the formula. They don't want anything too far outside the box. And that kind of varies a little bit with different genres. I would say probably romance and cozy mysteries are probably some of the most formulaic on the market. But even things like horror do have a lot of things that you see time and time again that are valuable to have. And as a writer, can also help you with outlining. So you can say, here's the typical beats of a horror, here or whatever genre, and here's how I'm going to accomplish them. So if you just Google beats for whatever genre you're writing in, a lot of times you can find whole lists, all a little bit different and varied of what people perceive as the beats of the genre, but I found that very helpful in my outlines.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a technical question, because again, we have a lot of folks listening that have not maybe started writing, and they're like, where do you keep track of these beats? So let me ask you this. Do you have a software program where you plug the beats in, or do you just have a big whiteboard on the wall or a big cork board with post-it notes? How do you plot out, and how do you keep track of these? Okay, she's rubbing her face. Okay.
This is really embarrassing. I'm gonna answer it, but it's really embarrassing, y'all.
No, don't be embarrassed, because we're all right there with you.
I am an incredibly disorganized person. So I just have notebooks and papers everywhere that have basically outlines on them. I used to try to keep them more together, but that has kind of not been a realistic goal recently in my world. So I have several notebooks that have a lot of outlines of different books in it when I was trying to keep it together. But I also just have like a whole tub of just papers that have books that I've outlined and haven't gotten to yet. I've been trying to do this a little more on my computer so that I don't lose it or have to dig through 50 papers to find it. But that's just not how my creativity works. I wish it did. I'm just not a naturally organized person when it comes to that. So my answer to you is on papers in a pile.
Okay. So for those of you that are listening, there is no right or wrong answer to that. It's whatever works for you. And so, you know, don't feel like, oh, my work background has to look like Jane's, or has to look like Kathy's, or has to look like Sandy's. We all plot or fly by the seat of our pants, whichever one, in a different way. So it's whatever works for you to get across the finish line. So I love that. And don't be embarrassed, Jane. That's we're all right there with you to a certain level. Yeah. What challenges have you faced in your writing journey? Anything major in your writing journey that you had to overcome?
I think the biggest thing has been just learning to be a little bit more comfortable around people. I have really had to put myself out there and learn to get past some of my introversion. So I've gotten to the point where I can turn it on and be like, okay, I can be social, I can go to events, I can say hi to people, but I'm kind of a shy person in my real life. Like if I'm to enter a room, I'm not a social butterfly, let's put it that way. So I actually, the very first time I went to the writers group I was part of, I thought I was going to throw up. There was about four other authors, and I was sure I was the least experienced person there. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was so anxious. My anxiety was just so high that it took me going about three times before I could even speak to people. I should add, now I'm leadership in two different writers groups, so it's a little bit different now. The first writers group I was at was probably, it was pretty early in my journey, probably 7 or 8 years ago, maybe. So I've come a long way. But no, I've also had,
I get that.
Yeah. And it's a real thing, like learning to put yourself out there and having to overcome that anxiety of like, okay, I'm going to go up and do a reading in front of all these people, and you just got to do it, even though my brain is like exploding with anxiety. And additionally, learning that it's better to try and fail than not to try. So one of the things that I'm still learning to do, and have been learning to do since 2018, is social media. I have a YouTube channel, and it is still kind of a work in progress. I try to post every day, but I don't quite get videos every day. I'm working on that. And I also have a TikTok and Instagram, X, and then Facebook. So I try to post content every day on all of those, but I've had to really accept that sometimes I'm going to try something and it's not going to work. It's going to be bad, or it's not going to turn out how I expect, but that's been a learning experience. Or like, I'll make something that I think people really like, and then people don't. So I kind of can pivot and alter, and I still haven't got all the answers figured out, but I do a lot of stuff and hope that somewhere somebody enjoys it.
No, I understand completely. And I say all the time, and for those of you that follow me, you'll remember me saying this a lot, but action comes first and clarity comes second. And so for those of you that are sitting there thinking, oh, I wish I could do what Jane's doing or Kathy's doing or Sandy's doing, you have to just take that first step. And then it'll get more clear as you take that first step. And then you can tweak it and adjust. And you know, it's okay for it to be messy up front. It's okay. It's okay. Now, you're a self-proclaimed nerd. How does your interest in comic books, Harry Potter, Star Wars, all those nerdy things, how does that influence your writing?
Well, I did mention I write romance, so you'd think those two aren't compatible. What I didn't mention is I typically write speculative romance. So my characters are typically in other worlds, or they're paranormal creatures, or anything like that. So that has come in a lot as I have started my
Okay.
writing journey. I have a lot of characters who I'm working right now on a portal romance. So I have a girl going through a portal and trying to figure out exactly how that whole new world works. I've got talking animals in that world. It's a lot of fun. So I think the nerdy influences come out in how I do my speculative elements in my romance.
I'm glad I asked that question. I would have not realized that. That's a lot of fun. So that's
It
very
is.
interesting. Yes, I love that. Now, again, we've got a lot of newbies on the call today, and one of the big things is juggling full-time job, obligations, responsibilities, all of that. Any advice you can give for them because they want to start writing and they just haven't started because life just gets in the way.
So the first piece of advice I'll give is figure out where writing sits in your life. What do you want from it? Is this something you want to be a full-time job? Because that's going to look a lot different for putting it into your life than if you say want to write your book, your magnum opus, and you have 10 years to do it and aren't real worried about like a long-term following. My eventual goal is to be a full-time writer. I'm pretty far out from that, I think. Unless I have a major success, pop up. I follow the write, publish, repeat method of marketing. So my goal is to put out a lot of content and try to build a relationship with readership. So I would say, though, understanding what it is you want out of writing is paramount because if you want to do this as a career, you are going to have to really cut out things in your life. Like writing is my hobby and things related to writing are my hobby. I don't do a lot of scrapbooking these days. I don't watch a lot of TV. We watch maybe one show a night while we're eating dinner, but I don't do TV very much. It's writing and book related things and social media content and all the business stuff in my free time. So any free time I have, that's what I'm doing. If that is not your goal of being a career writer, you don't necessarily have to push so hard. And I would say just stick it in wherever it can fit. You can write on your work breaks, assuming you have like breaks and lunches. You can work while, most of us have downtime. Like I said, I did a lot of my writing when the kids were in activities. They're not in as many now, but still, if they've got an activity and I don't need to be front and center, I just needed to bring them there. I'm in the car doing my writing or my outlining or my social media while they're doing their activities. If you can safely do it without upsetting your sleep schedule too much, get up a little earlier, stay up a little later. You have to want it. I mean, that's not the answer
Good
anybody
point.
wants, but you just have to want it really bad and make it happen. And it's not easy. I would also say see what works for you. I find that writing early in my day works better than trying to write later. That's one of the reasons that when I was on day shift, I always got up instead of writing after work because I found that the emotional energy and load was so much that after work, I didn't have the energy for it. And that is still true now. Like I try to get writing done within a couple hours of getting up. And that way I'm the freshest, at least for first drafting. I can edit if I'm a little more tired. So if I need to do that, like after work, that's not as big a deal. But if I am writing that first draft, I want to be fresh. I want to be clear. And I really want to just have all the energy in there.
Good points. Yes, Jane, thank you for that. We talked about having a book launch plan. What's your favorite book launch plan for your books? What's your favorite one to do?
Well, and I am honestly working on making some changes to that because there's a couple things I want to try that I haven't yet. But in the past, I've typically promoted on social media. My last book, Hunter, I made a ton of really goofy TikToks for. So I acted out my favorite scenes. I got my kids involved too. I'm sure that was very embarrassing for them. I put like filters on so you couldn't fully see them because I'm sure that, they don't want their friends to know that they did that for mom. But then I would do like interviews with my characters in my TikTok and have one of my girls pretend that she was a journalist interviewing my characters. So things like that is what I've
Okay.
typically done up to this point. So it's both mostly been social media, reaching out to influencers, seeing if anybody wants a copy of my books, that kind of stuff. Things I haven't tried that I really want to is the Goodreads giveaway.
Okay.
Goodreads giveaway is my biggest. The thing that's held me back is just they're very costly. And so for me, that has been something of how do I fit this in the budget, the creation budget, because I'm the only working adult in our family, and so therefore budgets
Okay.
are tight. And you really have to consider everything either takes time or money. And so I would much rather put time into things right now because of that. So that's kind of kept me from Goodreads giveaways and some of the other options that I would like to try in the future. But again, it's an ongoing business.
Yes.
Every book I have to pivot and try new things.
Yes, books are business. Also, for those of you that are listening, the author copies, you can generally get author copies for a greatly reduced rate than what the retail sale of your book is. And so, again, when you're doing these book launches and you want to take the 40 of your books actually physically to a bookstore and have a book signing or whatever, those author copies are at a reduced cost to
Oh
you,
yeah.
the author. So just keep that in mind. You're not spending retail money to get 40 books of your own books to take to a book signing.
And
Janae,
also for people who don't know about Goodreads giveaways, you can in the price of the Goodreads giveaways, especially if you're on a budget, I recommend doing the digital giveaways. Because you can do digital giveaways so you don't have to buy the paperback book. So Goodreads gives you two options, at least last I checked, because I looked into it for my last book, but I wasn't quite there. You can either do physical or digital. Now, Goodreads does charge over $100 to participate, but if you do it as a digital, that $100 includes the copies of the digital books. Whereas if you're giving away physical copies, you are then responsible for the cost of the author copies and
Okay.
shipping. So just be aware that if you're doing the Goodreads, digital is probably better, depending on, again, your genre. I'm a romance writer, and a lot of romance readers have Kindles and read that way.
Right.
So that works for me. I don't know if it works quite as well in like science fiction and fantasy. I don't know if they have as much of a following on like digital reading. So every genre is different is another thing to keep in mind. So see what works for you. But I did want to just bring up that about Goodreads giveaways in case people don't really know how that works.
Well, good point. Thanks for that, Jane. Now, tell us any upcoming projects you have and how can our folks get in touch with you if they want to learn more? If you could maybe put that in the chat and make sure it's marked to everyone so that folks that are not up on stage, if you will, with us can still see
Sure.
it. And
All right.
so type that in. And in the meantime, does anyone have any questions for Jane? Just simply unmute if you have any questions to ask her. And
I
who
don't
has a
necessarily
question?
have a comment for Jane, but I do have a neuroscience feed bleep that I wanted to share. And Jane was mentioning that she does better when she writes early in the morning. And if you think about it, that's when your brain is at its optimum level of capacity. Your brain is at its best before you have breakfast, but after you've had something to drink in the morning. So that's why that's working for you. It is biological, not just haphazard. So everybody should
Good to know, Sherry.
plan
Good
on
to know.
writing first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I do my best writing in the morning, so good to know. Anyone else?
Jane, just so you know, I'm a neuroscience geek.
Are you saying you're another nerd in the house, Sherry?
Oh, you knew that already.
Yeah, Sandy, did you have a comment?
You know, when you need kind of your a personal pep talk, what kind of inspires you? Is there a certain type of music or TV program or a movie that you watch that says, yeah, okay, I'm back at it again?
So it kind of depends on the book and what I'm doing. So I have had a couple books that I really found music was helpful. That's not something I do a lot of now at this point. At this point, it's largely imagining the future that I want and really focusing in on zoning in on, okay, how do I get to where I'm going with what I'm currently working on? So if I'm having a rough day, I just sit there and think, you know, why is this book important to me? Why is doing this important? What is my motivation? And that tends to be what I do. And sometimes I'll read in the romance genre and see if I can feel inspired by consuming content I really love.
Good, good. I like that.
Anyone else?
You did ask about upcoming projects. I am in the middle of a romance right now that I'm hoping to have out. I wanted to have it out late this year, but I think I'm going to push it to early next year. It's called Bewitching the Bear, and it is a historical romance between a witch and a werebear. So keep an eye out on that if you enjoy those kind of books. It is MM. I don't write a lot of MM, which for those who don't know the genre lingo is a male-male romance. Most of my romances are male-female, but every now and then, because these characters showed up in another book, they just kind of wanted to have their love story. So I was like, all right, well, I guess we're going to do this. So, yeah, I'm in the middle of that. I'm in the middle of, I think it was last year, but I could be wrong. It could have been 2 years ago. I started a new series, which is a modern rock star romance with werewolves. And so that second book will probably also be coming out next year as well. For that one, probably late next year, though. So working on a lot of werewolf and supernatural romances.
Good. And, you know, I wouldn't have said originally that I enjoy those kind of books, but I actually do. I've read several that are in that realm, and I actually do enjoy those. And I didn't realize I did. I really do.
And I would say one thing about the genre, because I found I have a really hard time sometimes with speculative romance. It for me, it's finding the right ones, the ones I really click with. And I found that about a lot of genres. Like when I first got into reading historical romance, I didn't think I liked Regency. I'd read one or two and they had so much weird lingo and words that I didn't know. And I was like, oh, this isn't for me. Well, now historical is one of my favorite subgenres and I really like Regency. And the same's kind of been true for all the speculative. I thought this isn't my cup of tea, but part of it is I was going and a lot of what I was finding was things that I knew wasn't what I was looking for. For instance, I'm not big into like the werewolf guy being a biker or the werewolf guy being an FBI agent or an assassin or stuff. That's not really my genre. I like the cinnamon roll guys. Again, genre jargon. I like the guys you'd really want to date, the sweet, you know, guys that you the kind that would bring you home cinnamon rolls, that kind of guy. Not the guy who's gonna, you know, beat people up. So I've really been seeking and there's a lot more of them now than there was. Very, you know, romances with paranormal where the guy is much sweeter and caring. And I read one recently where like the girl had a pet chicken and her sister's dog kept going after it. And so the guy's like, I'll take care of your chicken. And he built the chicken a really nice chicken coop in his backyard and was just like part of the romance was just him taking such good care of this chicken because he loved her so much. And like that did it for me. That's the kind of stuff I want. I want the sweet, kind guy who is showing his love in those sorts of ways.
Yeah. My genre that I actually want to write in going forward is cozy mysteries. So
nice.
you know, kind of like a murder she wrote, where, you know, a dead body shows up, but it's not too gory. So those are that's the genre that I want to stay in my lane there, so to speak. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah. Any other comments or questions for Jane? Leslie, Mel, Shanti, Chip?
This is Leslie. I just wanted to say for the entire group, thank you so much for the advice on social media posts. I always think that they have to be so formal. It's nice to know that they can be more casual. And yes. As I'm working to finish up my book, maybe just a great way to invite folks in to where I am in terms of the progress and so forth. So I really appreciate that.
Your readers actually will appreciate it to be a little more casual, and especially if you can weave your own personal story in with your writing, it actually makes, because it's you're going to start off with friends and family is who you're the people on your Facebook and Instagram are mostly friends and family, and so they want to know about you, and as what Sandy was saying earlier is that you're marketing yourself first and your book second. And so that's what's going to make your readers want to lean in. So Leslie, good point. Yes, but casual is fine. Yeah. And that takes the pressure of writing it too, doesn't it, Leslie?
It really does. It does. It just makes it, like you're writing, like you said, for friends, as opposed to this audience that you don't know and you hope you're checking all the boxes. I think it'll help keep me more focused on a time lines and that sort of thing as well. So I think
Leslie,
it's win-win.
Where are you in your writing process? Are you published? Are you in the middle of writing your first novel? Where are you?
It's my my first book, and it's kind of, I'm trying to categorize it, but it's kind of hybrid nonfiction. So it's about women and relationships and making those choices that help us live that satisfying life. And so some of it is, I talk a little bit about my story where, you know, choices weren't so great early on and here are the repercussions. And then I've created some short stories to illustrate some of the major points that I share in the book. It's just something that is in me. It won't leave me alone. So I've got to get it out. And so
nope,
I've been working on it for a long time. And I think this is just mine to do. So I'm excited about nearing the end. Now I'm just going through and editing and using, you know, I think I've asked you in the past about editors and I wasn't sure where to go. And now I'm using some technology to help me edit just for punctuation and that kind of thing. You know, this is my voice and I want it to always be my voice, but it's the punctuation and other things that I want to tighten up. And so I'm in that process now. And it's exciting.
Leslie, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate you being on the call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. One last thing, Smashwords, is that a good option, Jane? Still for folks, I logged on to the site since you mentioned it. I see a lot of books there.
So a couple things to know about Smashwords. They are in the process of merging with Draft to Digital. So I would come back and do research at the time when that merger is complete. Nice. I do love some of the functionality of it. Here's what I have found for my personal situation and my personal books. I have books through Smashwords and I have books through Kindle Direct Publishing. I make many more sales and much more money through the Amazon stuff than I do through Smashwords. Like through Amazon, both the Kindle, the paperback, and the audio, which I all have versions of on Amazon, I probably on a monthly basis make somewhere between $30 and $70. On Smashwords, I don't think I make more than $5. And they're sending stuff to Kobo. They're sending stuff to Barnes & Noble. They're sending stuff to Apple and a lot of other places as an ebook. So nice. I find it's a great site as far as it's a lot more ethical in a lot of ways, I think, than Amazon is. It's very much more author-centered and not big business, which I love. I found it had a lot of features that I loved, but it doesn't have the selling power of Amazon, at least for my books at this time. So I hope that's a good answer. I wouldn't say don't do it, but I would say if you have to choose between, if your goal is to make money and you're choosing between that and Amazon, you will probably have a lot more sales through Amazon, unfortunately, just because they're such a big company. Now, the good news is, as long as you are not exclusive to Amazon, and like that's a whole nother discussion, but Amazon has an option to be exclusive or not. And if you're exclusive, you get benefits. If you're not exclusive to Amazon and you opt out of their program for that, you can publish both places, which is what I have done.
I see. Thank you so much. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you for that. That's a great question, Leslie. And thanks for that answer, Jane. Anyone else have any comments? I saw Chip unmuted a couple of times there. Did you have a comment for Jane?
I just wanted to thank you guys. This is my first meeting. I don't plan on being an author, but at some point I would like to explore the idea of working with an author. So this was, I was on my afternoon walk. I just jumped in the chat with, in the call with you guys to get my feet wet, and I'm happy I did. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being with us, Chip. I really appreciate you being here. And where are you coming to us from?
I'm in Cincinnati. I lived in Minnesota most of my life, lived in Seattle, Chicago, but I'm back in Cincinnati now, Blue Ash in particular.
Okay.
Yeah.
My granddaughter's getting ready to go to college right there at Blue Ash.
Oh, awesome. My son's there now.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your comments.
I appreciate you folks. Also, I'm on my phone right now. Is there a way to get, I saw there were some links in the chat. Is that going to be available afterwards?
Yes. There's going to be a replay, and you can get in touch with me. Just KathyBenner.com. I'll put that in the chat, and I'll make sure that you can get the replay link. But I have it posted several places. We have a podcast. It'll be posted. It'll also be posted in the Academy. But if you just get in touch with me at KathyBenner.com, I'll make sure you get the replay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Shanti? Sherry? Well, I just want to say again, thank you so much for being on. Jane, we appreciate you so much being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And as a free gift to you, we are going to include you in our speakers cabinet. So if anyone else is looking for an author, publisher, writer, ghostwriter to interview, your name will be there, and we'll have you added to that later today or tomorrow. And you'll be, I'll email you all the links, and you'll also get the replay of this, and please feel free to use it however you wish, in part or in full, for any of your marketing. And then the link will be there also for you to see how you present in that speaker's cabinet. And then if you want to update anything, just let me know and I can fix it for you. But I'll get that all in there for you later today or tomorrow, and we'll do our best to help promote you.
Thank you.
Continued success.
Absolutely.
I want to say thanks to everybody for being here. And don't forget, put us on your calendar. It's the same Zoom link every single month. And so we are here. And Sandy, I always have to look at my calendar and make sure that I don't say the wrong one, because I do something every Monday, and I don't want to accidentally announce the wrong Monday. So I'm looking it up. This is the second Monday of every month. We do the Ohio Writers Guild, the second Monday of every month. So put it on your calendar, same Zoom link, same time, 12 noon Eastern time, and we'll see you next month.
Yes, we will.
Take care. Bye, everyone. Stay well.